Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino with you. Day two of the NFL draft gets underway in, let's see, about 7 hours' time. We'll have coverage for you right here on Giants.com, of course. The special evening edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way at 6:30. You'll have more of the two of us, and then we're on again tomorrow at 11:30 as we break down what the Giants do in day two and day three of the draft. Rounds two and three tonight, the Giants hold the 34th overall pick. Only the Browns select before they do at 33 with a lot of good players on the board. But let's not bury the lead here. And the lead, Paul, is the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley. Obviously, a name we've talked about on the show for a while now. I know there's a faction that loves it. I know there's a faction that doesn't love it, and that's where we are. So let's talk about the pick a little bit, and then this show is going to be a ton of your calls to get reaction, because we want to make sure you guys have a chance to get in and react to the pick. Paul, let's get your reaction first. This is the guy you wanted, I know. I know you were a very happy camper last night.
Yeah.
I heard they had to put the fire hoses on you at the stadium after they made the pick. And I'm not sure if you noticed it on Twitter. Somebody asked me last night to take a picture of you if the Giants picked a quarterback. And I said, I'll make sure I go to the ICU and take a photo when Paul gets there. But we didn't have to go through that, luckily, because
no.
The Giants took your guy.
Yeah. You know, the thing that got a little bit hairy there is as we were listening to all the experts on the television network feeds coming into the pick, they kept talking about Denver. And it's like, okay, well, let's see now. If Denver comes up from five, they're probably looking to go to two to jump the Jets, because we know the Jets are taking a quarterback.
Yeah, the Broncos will want a quarterback at two. Yes.
And so at five, oh, man, I don't know if they're getting Barkley at five. In fact, I didn't think so. I thought that trade was going to cut him out.
There's no way to know for sure. The question is whether or not the Browns would have taken him at four. I don't think there's a way for us to know either way.
No.
The Browns aren't going to tell us, but there was certainly no guarantee.
That got me nervous.
Correct.
and then when that didn't happen and the Giants were actually on the clock and they said the pick was in, I felt extremely confident.
And we should point out, Dave Gettleman said that, A, he would have made the pick pretty much no matter what. Once Mayfield got selected, he told Bob Papa last night that was the pick. He told the guys, don't bother picking up the phone. This is what we're doing. But even though they didn't pick up the phone, my understanding is the phone didn't ring. So there wasn't this surge in, oh, we're going to give up the house now to move up to number two to go get Sam Darnold. That didn't happen. That's my understanding. So I don't think there was a great opportunity to move down to five or to the Bills, because I think the Broncos were not after a specific quarterback, or if they were after a specific quarterback, it was Baker Mayfield. And once he was gone, then that option became maybe a little less likely.
Logical.
And I think the Bills wanted Josh Allen, and they knew they didn't have to move all the way up to number two to get Josh Allen. So they were happy to just move up to seven where they did to get their guy. So, and folks, you know me, I wanted to trade down. That was my second option after drafting Sam Darnold. So Paul got what he wanted last night. It was not my top option. But I can tell you my understanding is that there was not a great option to move down to the Broncos or the Bills that was available to the Giants. As Dave Gettleman said, what did he say, some hot dogs, some pretzels, and some peanuts? And
yes.
I don't have time for that garbage.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And to be fair, you know, my top priority had always been if they could get the boatload of picks, if they could get the Godfather offer that they couldn't refuse, you do make the trade for the boatload of picks, but
it wasn't there.
We had said since the combine, it was unrealistic to think that that offer would come.
And again, you thought the best chance for it to come was if Darnold was there, because he was the most favored quarterback, I'd say, of the four from most teams. He's probably had the more top grades than anybody else.
Seemed like it, but...
But, you know, we don't know that for sure either, by the way.
No.
And I'll get to that in a second, too. But, again, that didn't happen. The interest didn't drum up once everyone just saw that the Browns were going to take Mayfield. It just didn't happen. Now the question of trading down is out. How about the question of Sam Darnold? Because when you got down to it, you had the faction that wanted the quarterback, the faction that wanted the running back. And, folks, here's how I look at it, okay? We're not going to know for probably 3 or 4 years whether or not this was the right decision. We can think it's the right decision now, but we're not going to know. Because for the next two or maybe even 3 years, this is going to look like a dynamite decision. It just is. It's the same way the Cowboys drafting Ezekiel Elliott looks like a dynamite decision right now. Will it look that way in 4 or 5 years? We'll see. And that's the beauty of this whole situation. We're going to see and find out what happens. Mm-hmm. We're going to see whether or not Dave Gettleman is correct, and he's betting on the fact that Eli Manning is still going to be a really good quarterback for at least another year. He's under contract for two, and then maybe more than that. We're going to find out. He thinks that he will be. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. We're going to find out what Saquon Barkley's durability is like as a running back. Is he going to be a freak show like Emmitt Smith that never gets hurt over 10 years and could run forever? Maybe. Or maybe he's not. We'll find that out. And I think that's the beauty of this, Paul, that the proof is going to be in the pudding. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of fans are upset now, but the die has been cast, and we're going to see if it was the right move. Because if the team doesn't win significantly in any way in the next 2 or 3 years, you know what? Maybe you could think twice about it, but we'll find out.
You know what I wanted to know, and of course the faction of those who demanded a quarterback didn't want to talk about anything else. But I would like to know of those folks today, how would they feel if they couldn't get the quarterback, which they so desperately wanted? Who would they have been okay with? I would suspect 95% of them would have been okay with Barkley. But I don't know that. I don't know that.
There's a group out there, and look, I understand it because I've pointed a lot of this stuff out as we've gone along, too. There's a group out there that, and it makes logical sense, by the way. I'm not criticizing you guys because there is mathematical information behind it, that do not believe that there's value in the running back position that high in the draft. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dave Gettleman disagrees with that. The heavy analytics that are out now say, look, running backs are replaceable. The running game itself does not impact, you know, offensive production and wins and things of that nature. It's a passing game. That's what the analytics say. And that's why I think a lot of those people, Paul, were almost in an anyone but Barkley camp. There was a camp that was anyone but Barkley because of those analytics.
I did get some of those.
That camp did exist. And I think the reason that camp existed is, A, for the analytics, like I just said, and B, I think they thought at the top of the second round, you could find an awesome running back. And you know what? Darius Geis is sitting there, and he's going to be a darn good running back. Yeah. So I get it. It makes sense. But here's where I'm going to bounce back a little bit on you. And I'm, guys, look, you know me. I believe in this stuff. I get it. I'm into the math. I'm old school in a certain way like Paul, but
I don't nearly believe in the math as much as others do.
I include some of the newer stuff in my thinking because I like to learn new things and try to bring the full picture forward for everybody that watches and listens to the show. So we talked to the Pro Football Focus guys last week, right? We talked to Sam Monson, and we had a good conversation. And he talked about how a running back can impact the game in the passing game as much as he can running the football. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go back to what Dan Shanka said to us 3 weeks ago when we had him on. And he said, I think it was his first line of the interview, Saquon Barkley is not a running back. Saquon Barkley is a weapon. Mm-hmm. He had 50 catches for 600 yards last year. He averaged 11.7 yards per catch, which is good for wide receivers, let alone a running back. He had catches last year, and I'm writing an article, so I have some of this down already. And I put this together, I think, for Fact or Fiction. Last year alone, Paul, he had catches for 43 yards, 46 yards, 85 yards, 36 yards, 42 yards, 20 yards, 21 yards, and 24 yards. And that, by the way, is only going through his longest catch in individual games because they don't break it down for you. Mm-hmm. So he might have more than that are playing that are 20-plus yard catches. But just counting those, you're close to double digits already. So this guy can impact the game in the passing game. It is not just screens and dump-offs. He can run wheel routes. You split him out wide. He can run the slot route tree. He can get down the field.
Just so you know, you don't have to sell me on this.
I'm selling the analytic people.
I know you are.
And
I'm busting on you.
He can make plays in the passing game. Is a matchup nightmare on tight ends. I interviewed James Franklin, the Penn State head coach. You'll hear that interview later on tonight.
Yep.
And he said, we would literally take him and split him out wide, and that would tell us exactly what defense was on the field against us, if it was man or zone. Because how they dealt with him motioning out into either the slot or outside, would tell us exactly what the defense was doing. And that's how he impacts the rest of the team. So, and even Sam Monson, who believes in numbers, by the way, mm-hmm. said to us, we have not been able to quantify
correct.
The overall impact of having an elite running back on the field on the rest of the offense in terms of bringing an eighth man into the box and doing things of that nature. They have not been able to quantify that, so I think those are the things that should hopefully make the analytic people feel a little bit better about it.
Well, your last statement is exactly why I do not heavily rely on analytics, because the analytics people admit themselves that they're only giving you a partial picture. And if you rely heavily on something that is a partial picture, that's like what they say, you're being half pregnant, or you only have a half knowledge, it's very dangerous
well,
to
you
play
can,
with something when you got half knowledge.
Well, if you have a formula, you can only plug in the numbers you have. And how are you going to plug in numbers that don't exist? So it's really, it's a hard thing to do.
Then go by what you trust.
Yeah.
Go by what you know.
Exactly.
Go by what you see. In any event, I will say this. He, by virtue of your numbers, and I'll use that part of it, we talked about this many times, the nightmare that he and Beckham now will give every defensive coordinator on Monday night when they're sitting up trying to come up with a game plan as to how to defend the Giants. They now have two game breakers who can change the game on any given play from any spot on the field. That is a massive Excedrin headache.
And by the way, throw on top of that, Paul, those two game breakers.
Evan Engram.
Not as again, not as big of a game
Sterling
breaker,
Shepherd.
But as big of a matchup nightmare is Evan Engram. He's a guy that you can't cover with a tight end. Some safeties even have trouble staying with him if they're not a quicker safety.
The difference
that
is
can cover.
Engram can't score from anywhere on the field.
That's what I said.
That's the difference.
He's not the game breaker,
right.
But he's still a matchup nightmare.
Matchup nightmare, but not a game breaker.
Agreed.
The game breakers are they're different.
Yeah, they are.
They're just different. They come out of a different drawer in the chest of drawers there.
And the other numbers
anyway.
Too. And Paul, we had Kentley Platt on. Remember he does the RAS scores? Just want to remind you. So when Dave Gettleman says he's touched by the hand of God, and he has the feet of a little man,
mm-hmm.
but the size of a big man, those observations are played out in some of the scores here. An RAS score, for you guys that don't know, it basically takes the size and combine results of a running back, they put it into a thing with every other running back that's been drafted since 1987, 30 years of data, okay? His combination of size, speed, and combine results was the sixth best at the position in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That is ridiculous. Then you have the Spark score, which does the similar thing. It takes all the combine numbers and you put it into a big vat and it pops out a number, okay? He was the number one person in this class, I think in any position. Maybe it was definitely running back, mm-hmm. but it might have been every position. And of players in the league, all players in the league, Spark score-wise, 98th percentile in terms of Spark score. So he literally, based on his numbers, is one of the best athletes to ever walk on an NFL football field.
Right.
That's special.
And why you can look at those numbers differently than the other numbers is because those numbers are strictly athletic measurements.
Correct.
Those are factual athletic measurements. There's no judgment based on anything is that subjective? No. That's a physical, medical, athletic measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put more credence into those things when you try to identify exactly where does this guy stand on the physical scale of things. 13 running backs have been taken with the number 2 overall pick since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. 4 of them have gone to the Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk being the most recent, and that's the guy who most people compare Saquon Barkley to.
You know who I like for his comparison?
That's pretty cool.
I like Marshall Faulk, and maybe this is not old school for you, but it's old school for some of our younger folks. I think he's Thurman Thomas. I think he's Thurman. This Thurman could run in between the tackles. He could run outside. Excellent receiver. Who could run every route in the book.
Yeah.
I'd like Thurman Thomas. Only because I feel like Thurman could bang it 20 times a game a little bit better than Marshall Faulk could.
I've heard that name in comparison to him, not as often as Faulk. I've heard even Roger Craig's name mentioned.
I think that's
as
a
well.
Good one, too. I like that one, too. I'm down with that. Charles Davis gave us to Roger Craig when we had him on.
Yes, he did. Yes, yes he did. Anyway, folks, one pick is in the books.
And real quick, before we get to your calls, Paul, we should talk about the pick tonight because it's an important one. It's an elite pick in the draft, 34th overall. A lot of players on the board here. Paul wants to talk about one of them, so go ahead.
No. I want to thank you. I'm going to thank you before we say anything else. I remind folks, John sent me a message when he was at the Senior Bowl practices and told me, check out this guy, Will Hernandez. I'm at Senior Bowl practice. I know you are absolutely going to love him. This is before I even got into any of my scouting.
Right.
So what happens? He sends me like a GIF on the Twitter or whatever it is, little 5-second clip, and I look and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to know about this guy. And within minutes, as I began to research him,
he fell in love.
Cupid just plucked me right in the chest with that arrow. So Will Hernandez immediately became a highly sought-after hog molly on my radar screen. And you know what? It's never stopped since. So it's hands down. I'm taking him at 34 if he's there.
Okay. He's built like a tank. He's even got the neck roll. Okay? He's like the full the hog molly package.
He
here,
is
okay?
A healthier, younger version of DJ Fluker.
He will.
That's what he is, seriously.
And more intelligent, I think, too. Smarter. He's not going to make the mental errors that Fluker did. And here's the thing, all right? He wasn't in a winning program at UTEP. In fact, they didn't win one game last year. But that's fine. He might struggle with some quicker guys a little bit, but folks, he's a guy that moves the pile. He's good in a power scheme and a gap scheme. I don't think you want him, you know.
He devours the pile. He doesn't just move them.
And when I say he manhandled, I watched the offensive line drills at the Senior Bowl. I was within 20 feet of him. I was right there. This guy tossed people around like rag dolls. Dan Salmon's Ohio State guys, you know, Jalen Holmes and all those guys, picked them up, tossed them. He was the most physically imposing player there. He was that impressive. Now, Nathan Shepard, because he's quick, gave him a little bit of trouble on speed stuff, but he's really good. Some other guys to consider real quick. We know how much.
But are you on board with Hernandez?
I'm more than happy with Will Hernandez.
Okay, we're good.
Here's the only thing, though, and I'll make this point, and it'll set my next guy up. Pat Shurmur likes to run zone running scheme.
Okay? Yes.
And Hernandez is better for a gap power scheme.
Yes.
And a
I
guy
agree.
That might be better in a zone scheme is James Daniels, the center guard out of Iowa. Who has for most people have a first round grade on him.
Knee issue.
There are apparently, according to reports, some issues with some medical stuff. That stuff that Paul and I aren't privy to. So I can only speak about him as a player. I love him as a player. I think that would be a fine pick. If there's a medical issue, then obviously that would impact whether or not you take him. The second guy I like on the offensive line is Connor Williams. Why? He plays tackle. What do the Giants have a desperate need of? Mm-hmm. A starting right tackle.
Knee issue
we
also.
We don't know about Ereck Flowers. Now, he didn't have knee surgery last year, but he missed 7 games. He only played 5 games last year. And his 2017 tape wasn't nearly as good as his 2016 tape. So that's a bit of a red flag. He has shorter arms as well. Some people think he might have to turn into a guard.
Shade under 300 pounds, too.
Correct. So, red flags there. Those are the three offensive linemen. Now, if you don't want to go offensive line real quick, I'm not going to go into breakdowns of all these guys.
Right.
Here's some other guys at positions of need I'm just going to throw out there for you to keep an eye on. Cornerback. Giants need a corner, okay?
Davis or Jackson,
three
right?
Guys that are outside. Isaiah Oliver, cornerback out of Colorado. Good man-to-man, long press man corner.
A little high for him, I think.
Fits James Betcher's system. Carlton Davis profiles the same way. Big, strong, man-to-man, press corner. And then you have Josh Jackson, mm-hmm. who's a great ball hawk, long, more of a zone corner than a man corner, in my opinion. But he led the nation with 8 interceptions last year. I like the other two guys as a fit and bet your system a little bit better. But the three best corners, in my opinion. Harold Landry, do you want a pass rusher? Hey, the Giants lost JPP. We could use a pass rusher, right?
Ankle issue.
Sure. Well, like Connor Williams, his 2016 tape was dominant. Dominant. 22 tackles for loss, 16.5 sacks, 7 forced fumbles. I'm not going to say he was invisible this year, but he didn't do a whole lot. Why? He was battling a very publicized, this is not inside information here,
no,
ankle injury. So that might have knocked him down the board a little bit. Then Maurice Hurst.
Well, he should have been a top 15 injury, just as a pure pass rusher.
Pro Football Focus had him as their top pass rusher and the top 10 pick. Maurice Hurst, real quickly. Again, you know, his hard issue from the combine. I think best three technique in the draft. He can penetrate, but who knows how teams view the hard issue. I don't know, but I think he's an excellent player. And then I think end of the second round, Kamoko Touré, the pass rusher out of Rutgers, but I think that's more of a top of the third round.
Too high, yeah, too
round.
High for him.
Only one linebacker I like, Paul, that's here that you could pick is Lorenzo Carter, who some people also see as an edge rusher.
I like Lorenzo Carter.
His RAS score and his measurables were off the charts.
Little not high, though, at this 34.
I agree. And his production at Georgia wasn't great. You're picking him because of his traits, Paul, not because of his production.
Correct.
And again, guys with traits, James Betcher, you can move him around. Who knows how he can use him. Best safety on the board is Ronnie Harrison out of Alabama. He could do a little everything, probably a little bit better near the line of scrimmage. Giants might want a safety. I think it's a little too high for him as well. And then I'll throw some red meat to the quarterback crowd. If you want a quarterback, you could always talk about Mason Rudolph. But, Paul, my thought is, from listening to Dave Gettleman yesterday, and I'm not sure, did you watch this whole press conference once you got back from the stadium?
I saw most of it, but not all of it.
It does not sound like he's someone that is that concerned with finding another successor to Eli Manning with Davis Webb already on the roster.
Not at all.
So I would be surprised if they drafted a quarterback in the next 2 days.
I would be flabbergasted.
And there's good running backs on the board, too. We mentioned Darius Geist, Ronald Jones, Nick Chubb. But, like I said before, have Saquon Barkley. You're not drafting another running back in round 2 or 3, and they have Wayne Gallman and Paul Perkins on the roster. So there you have it, folks. Now it's time for you to get on the phones. 201-939-4513. And shocking, all four lines are full. We'll see if it's happy calls or angry calls, and we'll start in Dre in Atlanta. Dre, you're our first caller up. The Giants have Saquon Barkley. What do you think?
Hello?
Dre.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going?
I'm doing great. Hi. Dre. What's up?
Oh, I'm extremely happy with this pick. Yeah, excuse me. I'm outside. This Atlanta wind is making it kind of windy.
That's okay.
But I will tell you, this is my question for you guys.
Yep.
All right, with the number 2 pick, you already touched on it. But if you had a choice between Connor Williams or Willis Hernandez in the second round, who would you take?
If the medicals are equal, I would take Connor Williams. I don't know if the medicals are equal on both players.
Okay. What about Brian O'Neill or Braden Smith?
I like Braden Smith better than Brian O'Neill. I think he's a better player.
I would agree with that, but neither one of them are on Hernandez's plane.
I don't think Braden Smith will be there at the top of the third round. If he is, I'd gobble him up, but I don't think he's going to make it that far.
Okay. See, I have, I looked at the pretty much what's available and looked at some of their cut-ups. You know, we can go any direction with number 2. You know, but with I feel more comfortable shoring up that offensive line, even though we do have holes. But there are so many available corners. I mean, it's a deep corner class. I think we can get one in the top of the third. But we got to shore up that offensive line. Either we get a tackle or a guard.
Hey, look,
I'm with you.
So am I, Dre. Here's the thing: you draft a running back in the first round. Running backs are a product of their surroundings. You need to become a better run-blocking offensive line. And as Paul has mentioned many times, Will Hernandez does just that. So I agree. I think you go offensive line here, and you hope one of these corners, maybe a Dante Jackson or something like that, or Duke Dawson from Florida, is sitting there for you at the top of round 3, and you get your corner then.
You might even be able to get a corner in the 4th, to be perfectly honest. There are that many of them.
Or if you really like one, maybe you could use a pick and move up into the end of the second round. You have 2 third-round picks.
Yeah.
You can mess around
with
that.
Although I wouldn't do that, because I'd like to see them also try to get an outside linebacker.
I happen to agree.
I agree.
Out there is an option.
And I don't believe we have enough picks to really start moving up.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
I don't see it.
I agree with that.
To me, having 4 picks in the top 70 was actually the sweet spot, given the areas of depth that are in the draft and the areas that the Giants need on the roster.
Thank you, Dre. Your line's getting a little loud. Sorry about that. I want to make sure we get a lot of callers in, too.
Yeah.
So if I cut you guys off early, I apologize. I want to try to get as many people in as possible. We'll have more time on the show tonight. It's going to be like a 3-hour show.
So we're going to go through the 3rd pick. Correct. The third round picks.
We'll be on the air through the Giants' third round pick. So you will have literally at least 2 hours with you tonight. So we'll have plenty of time to take longer calls and get a longer opinion in. But I want to make sure we get as many people here. Whoa. Dan, is this true? Dan Salamone from Chris Mortensen. Jason Witten is going to retire after 15 years and be the analyst on Monday Night Football.
Excuse me while I weep for the next 3 hours.
I'm just surprised.
Giants killer that he was.
I'm just surprised.
I'm surprised, but wow. I don't know that any Giants defensive coordinator of the last 15 years will miss him at all.
By the way, this is planned.
I'm having fun with you, folks.
I know. But he will meet today with Jerry Jones before making his decision final.
Okay.
So maybe you know what? If anybody could change somebody's mind and sell him, it's Jerry Jones.
It would be.
And they just gave him a they just redid his contract and extended it a couple years this offseason, too.
You know, you kind of think he might have been able to do that a couple days ago going into the draft, so as they set their board, they wouldn't have to shuffle things a little bit.
Well, something tells me that.
They probably knew.
Honestly, maybe.
Well, he went for the audition a week ago, right?
Right.
So I guess they knew.
And frankly, Paul, I thought the Ravens were crazy for taking Hayden Hurst where they did yesterday. I thought that was not a great pick. I don't think there was a tight end in 19 that the Cowboys would have taken anyway.
No. But it could shuffle their board a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a tight end now, would you?
No. There are a bunch of receiving tight ends in this draft, too,
yeah,
who aren't necessarily worth high picks. But
Dallas Goedert.
Guys who could be had.
Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, who's already off the board. Anyway, Justin in Philly, he's up next. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? As much as I love Barkley, and there's something to be said about, you know, that kind of attitude, bringing that kind of attitude to the team. He's a leader.
Yeah, great
like
kid.
Like you said, he's a weapon. And even just hearing him talk to Shurmur last night, you know, promising the Giants that he wasn't going to let him down. I do have to say, though, that I think that the two Eagle games last year were an anomaly for Eli Manning. And I think that the Giants are basing this decision on two games in which Eli played relatively well. And I think that the contingency plan of, you know, let's see how Eli is for the next 2 years, and then, you know, we'll figure it out at quarterback. I think you had an opportunity to address that now. And I think that, you know, Barkley, you know, it's going to be good for 5-6 years, but I don't think that equates to, you know, perennial, you know, championships and playoff appearances. I don't know what you guys think.
Hey, Justin, look, I think you make good points. I think there's
he's talking about the two games against the Eagles, by the way, where Eli just
wonderful
sliced them like a kitchen utensil.
I'll put this two ways, Justin. One, I struggle evaluating Eli off of last season simply because the whole machine fell apart around him. So good or bad, I almost think you have to look more at his 2016 tape and see what he had left. And look,
correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, 2016 wasn't that. I mean, he had a good playoff game, but otherwise, 2016 was not that impressive. But
six fourth quarter come from behind victories. That's all I need to tell you.
No, but Justin, look, was he a top five quarterback in the league based on his numbers? No, he wasn't. Is he good enough to win with guys around him? Absolutely. But look, you're right. There is a risk involved in what the Giants did. You're
right.
Betting that, yes, Eli is going to maintain his level of play over the next two or, you know, maybe 3 years. Who knows how long he's going to be here. Which, is for a quarterback that's going to be 37 or 38, there is an inherent risk there. There is. There is. I get it. I agree with you. And then they're also betting that a third-round draft pick can develop and be Eli's eventual replacement. Now, you can obviously add to that depth chart in the draft the next couple of years, so that's not a permanent decision. But look, there's a risk involved, and there's no guarantee that those things are going to be right. Dave Gettleman believes one or both is going to be right, and we'll see who's right, and we'll see who's wrong. It's really that simple.
Right. And Darnold didn't go number one, John, were you still in on Darnold?
I like Darnold a lot more than Paul does. So we disagree in our prospect evaluation there, which is fine. I think it's good that we do. You don't want everyone agreeing with everybody.
That's true.
So
besides, we have fun.
We do, absolutely. And look, if Thank God it wasn't my decision, because Lord knows Dave Gettleman knows more about football in his hand than I do in my whole body. But
I love
Sam Darnold, and I would have.
So do I.
I think he could be. I think he's going to be a franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. I would have picked him, and you know what? I might have ended up looking like a dope if he doesn't end up being a franchise quarterback. So we'll see. Thank you, Justin.
I guess we'll see. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. He's up next. What's up, John? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Hi.
All right. I called about a month back. We're getting our guy, Will Hernandez. I'm telling you. I have a good feeling. I'm on the Will Hernandez train, Super Bowl.
Well, John, just be afraid. Make sure the Browns don't go picking him at 33. Paul has his voodoo doll out. He's making sure that doesn't happen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I think that interior line is pretty good with
I agree with you.
I'm thinking somebody might trade up for him. Another pick, Josh Jackson. I would really like that pick. Hey, I wouldn't mind that. I would want more of a priority, I think. Me personally, I agree. I would have took Donald, too. There's another quarterback I love that's still out there. A kid out of Richmond, Kyle Loretta.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do.
I love him. I'm not a Davis Webb fan. I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want to waste more capital on a quarterback, unless we, come on, we got a linebacker, outside linebacker to finish out. We need two corners, plenty of positions.
A pass rusher, maybe, safety.
Oh, definitely pass rusher. Outside Olivier Vernon, who's getting the quarterback?
That's a great question. That's something they'll try to address. Thank you, John.
Yeah, good, Frank. All right, I just got one thing.
Yeah, real quick.
So I just wanted to say, I wasn't sold on the Barkley thing, because if you look at past recipes of teams in the Super Bowls or the best teams, all their teams, like the Eagles, all right, say Eagles and Patriots last year, but it was a timeshare position. I really believe that's what it should be. But, I mean, Barkley has a weapon. I guess I'm trying to get sold. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Thanks, John. Well, I want to answer that, Paul. You go ahead first.
Yeah, and this is relevant to what you said earlier and what Monson and some of the others had said to us and Shanka about him being a weapon. If he was strictly a pure running back, then you could put that tag on him that he probably has a shorter lifespan. But because he will play many of his snaps outside, on the move, in the slot, doing all kinds of other things, and getting a lot of his touches in the passing game, he is not your typical 22-carry-a-game running back who may be out of the league in 4.5 years.
And the funny thing, Paul, is that Barkley fans, and there's a lot of them out there who wanted Barkley or nobody else, when I would say, well, I don't think he's a 25-carry-a-game guy, they would get mad at me and be like, of course he could do that.
But he doesn't have to be.
You don't want him to
not
do that.
Not with what the skill set he's got. He doesn't have to be
you'd
that.
Much
he could hurt you in other ways.
You'd much
better.
Rather have him get 16 to 18 carries a game and get him 7 to 8 touches in the passing game, so he still gets 25 to 27 touches. But he doesn't get 25 carries. And by the way, and this goes to John's point, that means there is going to be another running back. You're not just going to run it 18 times a game.
Right.
So that means Jonathan Stewart is going to get 7-8 carries a game.
Or Gallman.
Or Perkins. And you know what? And I know this will annoy a lot of fantasy football players out there. If Jonathan Stewart's not the goal line back on this team, I'd be shocked. Shocked. If you're inside the 5-yard line, I think Jonathan Stewart's in the game, and he's going to vulture all of Saquon Barkley's short yardage touchdowns. It's going to drive fantasy football owners batty, but I really think that's going to happen.
And by the way, goal line, short yardage, boy, that picture looks real good running right behind
Will Hernandez.
Will Hernandez's back.
By the way, Barkley, when he does do short yardage, and I'm sure you saw when you looked at his tape too, he's not one that's going to put his head down and run through people. He goes over the top.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He likes to jump.
Riding Will Hernandez's back is a good idea.
Let's go to Richie in Long Island. He's up next. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hi.
Great. Just happy with the pick yesterday. The question I had was basically, like, with the group of linebackers that are left, are they worthy of a top second overall? A top of the second round pick?
I don't think so.
Here's the way I graded the linebackers. Okay, the outside linebackers. Given that Landry's got the ankle injury, the guys you're looking at would be Carter, Nwosu,
and Baker.
And frankly, Nwosu is more of a pass rusher than a linebacker anyway.
And yeah, for me, I don't think they are number 34 value.
No.
I think they are lower second round. And I tell you what, I wouldn't have problems with taking any one of those guys at the top of the third round with one of those two picks.
And frankly, I think there's a group of running backs that could be good value at the top of the third round.
Running backs or
linebackers? Linebackers.
Yes, linebackers. Right.
Yes.
And so I think any one of those three guys, if they're there with one of their two third round picks, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I happen to be a bigger fan of Darius Leonard from South Carolina State than a lot of other people are.
There are three or four guys that I like in the third round, Paul. He's one of them. Fred Warner out of BYU is another who can cover really well. I think Josie Jewell out of Iowa is a good football player. He's not the best athlete, but I think he can play the game. And I'm not a big fan of him, but a lot of people are still in love with Malik Jefferson's athletic traits. I don't know how good of a football player he is at this point, though.
Okay, so it's fair enough to say that the offensive lineman is better had in the top of the second round than in the top of the third.
I think the two best positions right now with value on the board, offensive line and cornerback.
Absolutely agree.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I just hope we address linebacker and cornerback, if it's in the third round. Cause since we have two picks, that'd be great. That was all I had, guys. Thanks. You guys do a great job with everything. Thank you.
Thanks, Richie. Appreciate the call, bud. Let's go to Dan in Delaware. He's up next. I promise rapid fire. That's what we're doing. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, John, what you said in the beginning of the call about, this will not be determined for a few years.
No.
I agree with you 100%. I was with you 100% on Darnold. That's who I wanted. So there's no need to get into all that. All I will say is, it's not just about Darnold. It could be about if any of these quarterbacks that we passed on turn into a great franchise quarterback, it could be looked at as a mistake. So Darnold was my guy, but it could apply to any of these quarterbacks that we took a pass on.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you. It applies to, not Mayfield, because he was off the board, obviously, but
no,
Rosen,
not Mayfield, but
Allen,
anyone that we passed on.
I agree. And real quick, look, here's the thing. Even if those guys turn out to be really good, if Eli's good for another 2 or 3 years and Davis Webb ends up being a good starter in this league, we're going to end up being wrong. Just going to end up being wrong, and it's possible. Yep. So we'll find out if we're right or wrong.
Yep.
Who knows?
And I sent a tweet out, and I said, earlier, I said the only way that this pick, is justified is if we win a third Super Bowl with Eli Manning, or if Davis Webb does turn into a franchise quarterback, or all the quarterbacks we passed on do not pan out.
Dan, you know what? I don't think it's fair to put Super Bowl or bust. If this team wins a division and they win a playoff game, these individual games in the playoffs can be so random. If this team is good enough where you think they have the ability to win a Super Bowl and they happen to come up just short in like an NFC title game or something like that, I can't throw stones at that. That tells me that Gettleman did evaluate the status of the franchise properly if this team is in position to win big in the next 2 years.
Okay, exactly.
I'll go there with you on that. I'll go here. If we do make a deep run, this is what I'm going to say now is like moving forward, we have Barkley now. So in my opinion, with Eli Manning, this was a move. This whole thing always for the last few months, it's always been about the present versus the future. And we went with the present, and that's fine. And now that we have Barkley, in my opinion, we need to shove it all in on these next 2 years, maybe push it out to 3 with Eli if they give him one extra year. And they need to get aggressive. They need to make some moves if it involves making big trades for proven players, kicking the can down the road on salary cap stuff to acquire talent, because we need to shove it all in my opinion, on these next 2 to 3 years to max this out and try to make a push. So you were right, John. Not a Super Bowl isn't a necessity, but we need to be able to make a run with this pick.
Yeah, here's what I love about your call. This is important. I don't want to cut you off, but I kind of do because I love your call. Because the people who were so screaming for a quarterback and so screaming that Davis Webb isn't – I know, but this is why I love it. Because you're in the camp on the other side of the fence that I am. But most of the people on the other side of the fence did not understand the generic blueprint that the Giants had put in place. Okay? They are –
believers in Eli Manning. They are believers in Davis Webb. Look at the age of the team. Look at the contracts on the team.
Especially
look at
on the defense.
Look at the economic structure of the team. They made the proper and logical decision that they're going to try to make a 2 to 3 year run to be in the conversation of a playoff team slash contender. And once you understand the parameter of that box, this was the only way you could go. You were smart enough to understand that. Most people on the other side of the fence did not want to understand that you can't fit a square peg into a small hole, a circular hole. And I love the fact that you understand that we could disagree on the opinion of the player or the opinion of the position, but that you accept this was the direction that the franchise is going in, and if you're going to go in that direction, this is the way it has to be. I love your phone call.
They have to.
I love your phone call. So intelligent.
I almost equate it to Denver when they had that Peyton Manning for the last couple few years.
Yeah.
They took Osweiler. They hoped he panned out. You know, hopefully Webb pans out better than Osweiler did. But they shoved it all in, man. They went all in, and it actually did pay them off.
Sure.
And now they're suffering for it a little bit, but they'll never give that Super Bowl back. And that's kind of the way I look at it. And then hopefully, in the end, if Webb does pan it out, then we're okay and we're good. But, yeah, if we can make a good run and we can make another crack at this thing with Eli, we did, you know, step one is done. We got Barkley the weapon, and I'm with you guys on tonight. I think we have to go. I know there are other positions, but I feel like we have to go O-line to give Barkley his best opportunity and Eli's best opportunity. And it wouldn't even shock me if in round three, with one of our two picks, we double down on O-line, depending on who's there.
Especially if it tackles
them. You know,
I would
anyway,
not. Yeah.
You know, I didn't get what I wanted last night, but you know, it's all we all want the same thing. We just had different methods or philosophies on how to get there.
Yeah.
They went with one direction, so hopefully it works out, and we shove it all in, and we get there.
You need you need to call us back again, because you know what you're saying, my man. Thank you, Dan. That's great.
And look,
I love that phone call.
And here's the thing, and I think this is kind of hits the nail on the head, at least for me. This is how I look at it, too. It's not a disagreement on how good the players are in some ways. I know you weren't high in the quarterbacks, but it's a disagreement almost on the timetable you're willing to utilize to get the Giants where they want to go. If you're in favor of a quarterback, you're okay of taking 2 or 3 years and, you know, building and losing a couple more years. That's not the philosophy in the building. That's not how they're looking at this.
Not when John Mara says, I expect to be good this year.
Correct. And that's why Barkley makes sense.
Once that statement came out in public and John Mara quoted that to the papers and the TV stations and the radio stations, you had to have an understanding of the type of roadmap the Giants were going to use.
And even with the analytics, Paul, and I believe in them, you can make the argument based on how players make immediate impacts more at one position than another, that Barkley might give you the most utility, to use a nerdy math word, over the next 2 to 3 years than Bradley Chubb. Because defensive ends can sometimes take, look at Strahan, look at Osi. They can take 2 or 3 years to kind of get going a little bit. You get a really good running back, his legs are moving year one, and he's an elite player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Nelson, I think, could have stepped in and done the same thing as Barkley in terms of impact player in year one. But you're getting – my point is that, Paul, you're going to see an immediate big-time impact on the field from Barkley in the next 2 to 3 years, and I think the Giants are willing to risk what happens after that to make this 2 to 3 year run.
Yeah,
period.
In principle, I understand. I do think there are certainly pass rushers that you could put in sub packages, and he could just rush the quarterback 10 plays a game and make impacts that way.
Yeah,
it
but don't you
happen.
Agree that generally running backs impact more immediately than pass
Again,
rushers do?
Again, I'm on board with what you're saying, but there are exceptions.
Sure. Always exceptions.
Pass rushers, they love to put them in sub package and just say, look, 10 plays, go get the quarterback. It happens.
Pete in Staten Island, he's up next. And great call, Dan. Pete, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I hope I can match his call.
Nah, you'll be fine, Pete. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Listen, you know what? I wasn't for taking the running back, but that's fine, and I think it's a great pick, to be honest with you. I didn't want a quarterback. Paulie, you know, I wanted Nelson in a trade down with Denver and the whole thing. We talked about this.
Understood.
You know, but
you'll love
fine.
Will Hernandez, though, I promise you.
yeah. You know what? You can't be upset with this. As far as tonight goes, the only thing that was a little bit upset, I watched the whole draft last night. Two of my linemen went off the board, Wynn being number one.
Patriots.
And
good
player. Wagnow being number two. And I was surprised Wagnow went so soon, to be honest.
Yeah,
Wynn, I wasn't so surprised.
Yeah, Wagnow, Pete, was the first interior lineman off the board after Nelson. He was the first one gone. I was a little surprised by that, too.
Well, again,
yeah,
Price.
I thought he was going to go late second, you know, third round.
Okay, but think about this. Price had the peck. Daniels has a knee. Wagnow, clean.
Yep.
And you know what? And I asked this of Greg Gabriel, one of the former Giants scouts who did this for a long time, and now he's working for a radio station in Chicago. I asked him on Twitter this morning, hadn't gotten back to me, as to is he seeing a trend of teams that are putting more emphasis on the clean medical? Because we're seeing some real...
I think that's always been the case, though.
There's always a case, but how much do you weigh?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that weighing is going a little heavier now against medical flags.
And by the way, we knew about the Landry ankle. This Daniels knee thing, I had, unless I missed it, and maybe I did, I had not heard anything about medical red flags for Daniels until yesterday. That was the first I heard about
it. Yeah, to be honest, I didn't know anything about it. Matter of fact, I was going to bring it up just now. Daniels was my next guy on the board.
Me too.
All right. I had Wynn number one. I had, I had Nelson, but forget Nelson. I had Wynn as the number one guy. I had Hernandez number two. No, Daniels number two, possibly.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then Hernandez. And the reason I put him in that order, because in his own blocking scheme, I think that Daniels and Wynn certainly fit the mold. Now, Hernandez is more of a pancake or a mauler, and he's good in a small space. I'm not so sure he's good, in a pulling guard kind of mode or
stretch
good
plays.
Space.
Yeah, Pete,
but,
I agree with you.
As far as being a mauler,
yep.
You know, no-brainer.
Now, Pete, I'm with
you,
and you're right. Pat Shurmur runs a zone blocking scheme, and I think Daniels is better from his skill set in that scheme than Hernandez would be. But like I said before, this ankle thing, or knee thing rather, or whatever his medical issue is, if that's a real problem, I don't know the details on that, so it's hard for me to comment. But
right.
I'm fine with Will Hernandez if
Daniels
is bad medical.
What do you think about Davis? Is it Davis I'm thinking about, the guy from Auburn? Do I have his name right?
Carlton Davis,
yes.
The cornerback. I think he's one of the top three corners left on the board. I think he would certainly be an option.
I'm talking about a guard. What's his name?
Braden Smith you're talking about?
Oh, jeez.
Braden Smith?
From Auburn. Braden Smith from Auburn.
No, Brandon Smith.
Yeah, Braden Smith.
Braden Smith, yeah.
You know, here's the thing. For me, it's high at 34 to think about him.
I think he's more of a 45 to 50 guy.
If he's there at the top of the third round,
I absolutely would
seriously look at him if he's there. I don't think he will be.
Not me neither.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I would love to get him at the top of the third round.
Yeah.
Oh, where do I sign?
Wagnow had a minor ankle thing, too, so I don't want to say he was 100% clean, but again, how many linemen are 100% clean?
And then your man, Martinus Rankin, too, maybe top of the third round if he lasts that long.
Rankin would be a guy top of the third round. Crosby's a guy top of the third round.
I like Jamarco Jones top of the third round. He's a good player.
You know?
I know he went from Ohio State, but I think I can look past that.
You know, Corbett? But Corbett's more of a guard, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he's making it, though.
You know?
I don't think Corbett. I like Corbett. Do you know why, Paul? Do you know what always seems to work well? And maybe I have a confirmation bias, and I just notice when it does. These guys that are four-year left tackle players or three-year left tackle players in college and then move into guard, they always seem to be really good. These guys that move from tackle to guard in the NFL, they always tend to me to be very good players.
How about the fact that a guy who starts for 3 or 4 years at a big-time program has had more snaps and more experience, and we already know that the CBA doesn't give those guys the proper coaching
and it hurts their development. And you know, so if the guy starts for 3 years or the guy starts for 1 year, which guy do you think is more advanced?
And you know they have the feet if you're playing left tackle. If you're playing tackle in college, you got the feet. Yep. And you know what? You need the guys that can move. Let's go to Stas out in Washington. Stas, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? So listen, not my 1A, but definitely my 1B.
Who?
You know I called in. I wanted Nelson.
No, Nelson, okay.
Understood.
On the hard side. Now, we can get ourselves a punch you in the mouth, you know, Willie Hernandez in the second round. I will be 100% on board with that, and I'll walk away from this draft extremely happy. That being said, hey, all the quarterback people, Eli's our guy. Let's just get on board. This is our team to show some love, to show some support. Lastly, and I'll get off the air real quick, I read an article that Jason Witten is retiring.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I want to say I'm not going to miss you eating up my team, but, man, was it a pleasure to watch that man play.
Oh, yeah.
He's a class act. Oh.
Terrific.
Thank you, Stas.
Get him his gold jacket now. I mean, what a player.
Most complete tight end in my lifetime watching football. Blocking and receiving together. In my lifetime. I'm sure there was someone before me that was better at it. But in my lifetime, look, Tony Gonzalez was great. He didn't want to block anybody. All right.
Well, you know.
And Antonio Gates was really good, too. But I think Witten was a better blocker than Gates was. So that's why I use the word complete. Maybe not the best. I use the word complete.
He's right up there.
I'm trying to think of somebody that I'm forgetting.
Right. Well, you know, I was a huge Mark Bavaro fan, but his career was so short that you can't really do it.
And I don't remember Bavaro's best prime years. Yeah. I was like 8. Yeah. I mean,
I understand.
I'm not going to remember
that. I understand. So, we're lighting up.
Let's do it. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Hi, Len. What do you want the Giants to do tonight? I'm sorry, but now we go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. My bad, Len. How are you?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Hey,
great pick. And second, is there a happier man in America than Davis Webb this morning?
I think Eli Manning might be a little bit happier to have a running back to hand the ball off to. I think it's close.
I think Dave Gettleman is the happiest man in America, to be honest with you.
Pat Shermer's probably pretty happy,
too. There you go. There you go. So we got three or four really happy people on the Giants.
And Paul DeTino, by the way. He's also very happy.
It's hard to be against this pick. You may have wanted a quarterback, but, I mean, in the end, I mean,
right.
I mean, how can you not like this pick?
There were a few bad choices here. Few.
Daniel, surgically repaired knee after the 2016 season, missed the first two games of 2017.
I mean,
I think the operative words there are surgically repaired.
You know, problem is, Len, okay, the problem is when you're talking about these guys who have had issues of that nature,
right.
You just don't know when they're going to act up again. It was one of the things, I hate to say this, but you know, it's one of the things that made Justin Pugh wind up going to free agency and looking for another team to play. Because when these things keep coming back, you know, it's a problem. Reliability is huge.
No, I was just stating that because it sounded like you guys didn't know that he'd had a surgically repaired knee.
No. But a lot of guys have surgically repaired body parts, but that doesn't mean that they're a medical red flag. They're two different.
Well,
remember,
that's the injury.
The only thing
that's
he had, injury, but Len, his surgery, Len, let me give information. Len, stop talking.
To
Len.
Me, and this is a really simplistic way to look at that. Look at this, but I like Iowa linemen more than I like University of Texas El Paso linemen. I mean, those guys are ready to play. The Iowa guys are ready to play.
He had a partially torn meniscus, by the way.
An offensive line factory.
Which is not a major injury.
Yeah, terrific plays. And he plays two positions. But listen, you know, let's not get cute about this. Need matches value. We've been talking about the offensive line for seems like decades.
Yes.
You know, let's not get cute. Best offensive line player on your board, highest rated player on your board, pick him. If it's Hernandez, put him at left guard where he's played for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Leave him there and everything's going to be fine.
Yep.
Hey, I'm leaning toward Hernandez. Hope he's there. I think Cleveland's going tackle. And
place Joe Thomas.
I think Hernandez is going to be there. And let's just take him at this point, avoid the injury to Daniels, and let's go forward. I mean, we got better yesterday than our division rivals got better, if that makes any sense. And I like that. Let's do that round by round. Let's get better than our division rivals.
Thank you, Len.
Okay.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I would wait till the draft is over before you start thinking about how you grade the division.
And again, what I was trying to say before is that his right knee surgery in January of 2016 is to repair a partially torn meniscus, which is not a super major injury when it comes to knees. You know, meniscus surgeries happen all the time. And this is from Dane Brugler's draft guide, by the way. He missed spring drills and the first two games of the 2016 season. And then he missed the 2017 season opener due to a knee sprain, which was a separate injury. So those are the medicals with James Daniels.
You know, every single player goes through a litany of medical exams at the combine. It's the kind of stuff that you don't want to go through if you're a regular human being. Okay? And so every team will then grade the injuries on their own scale as to how much of a risk or how problematic it is for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of teams have considered Daniels a bit of a medical risk, or he wouldn't have fallen out of the first round.
Daniels, Landry, Maurice Hurst with the heart. They mentioned last night
it is
that
what it is.
Leighton Van Der Esch, some teams might have been worried about the neck injury he suffered at Boise, but the Cowboys happened to clear him. So it all depends what your medical staff, you know, believes
from
player
to
player.
They took Jaden Smith. Remember?
Yeah, Jalen Smith, yeah, with the nerve issue in the knee, which is a far more serious problem than any of these
Which,
things.
By the way, makes me wonder about them gambling on another linebacker.
Well, they
2 years in a row.
I read yesterday in a story talking about the Van Der Esch pick that this was the quote, that they believe that he will be close or at to the level of athlete he was at Notre Dame when the season starts this year.
Smith. No.
We'll see. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's apparently what their expectation
is. But that's two medical risk linebackers they've taken in back-to-back years.
Well, and then throw in the off-the-field risk defensive end in Randy Gregory from 3 years ago.
Well,
and no one ever said Jerry Jones wasn't a riverboat gambler, Paul Dottino.
That's what he does.
Let's go to John in Syracuse. John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
First of all, I just want to say great job with the show, you know, the last, however, what is it, 2 months you guys have been doing.
Thank you.
All this work and everything. It's
We've
been
had fun.
You guys have made the draft, like, really exciting. You know, I'm watching. I'm just, like, biting my fingernails, like, oh, who's going to be the next pick? This guy should go here.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, for the second round, I mean, I'm kind of agreeing with Paulie Das, where I kind of want to just write Will Hernandez's name right on the card and be like, and just hold it there and be like, hey, please just, you know, give it right to the commissioner. Just go pick this guy. But at the same time, you know, with all the different needs we have, it wouldn't surprise me if they – do you think maybe they could possibly trade back, like, a few spots, pick up maybe, like, another, like, pick, and then get one of the other guys on the board if they're still there?
Here's the thing. If they really believe that they're good – with either Williams, Hernandez, or Daniels, and they're happy to get any one of the three guys, which I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know. And a team that's, you know, two or three picks below them offer you an extra four or something like that to move down two or three spots, and you're guaranteed to still get one of those three, sure. But if one of these guys, like we've talked about, is graded a lot higher than the others because of medicals or whatever, you pick that guy at 34 and you be happy about it.
You know what? Much like Dave Gettleman has had conviction on Barkley and could not, you know, ascertain an offer that he couldn't refuse, not that he was looking to get it, if you feel the same way about Hernandez, and I quite frankly, if it were me, I would put him in the same category. Right now, at this particular time, I would say it's got to be an offer I can't refuse to pass him up.
Understood.
Yes, yeah. If they do pick Hernandez, hopefully, Paul, we see you in a video the next day interviewing him.
That'd be cool.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, buddy. And look, and here's the thing, too, with Hernandez. If I was to draw up what I think a hog molly looks like, it's Will Hernandez.
It's him.
It's him.
It's him. It's him.
It's him.
Hog Molly Hernandez. The name fits perfectly.
And it just seems like the guy that Gettleman would really love. Can't you imagine Gettleman watching him on tape and be like, wow. Just like being like so in love with the guy based on him beating the hell out of everybody.
I
can only imagine how much he loves that guy.
Yeah.
It's a guess, but in my head, that's how it works.
I can already hear the press conference after he's picked. I mean, yeah.
Guys, come on.
I'd be so surprised based on his skill set, his physical stature, if Dave Gettleman does not like him. Now, that doesn't mean there's not somebody he likes more at the pick.
Correct.
He may decide, you know what, a cover corner is more important right now,
and I can't pass up the cover corner.
Hey, Dave loves defensive linemen too, by the way.
So
he does.
You know, again, I trust Dave Gettleman. If he's got conviction on a player that he's got to have, then he's more than welcome to disappoint me and bring me to my knees in tears by not drafting Will Hernandez.
You say that now. Wait till around 7:10 on Big Blue Kickoff Live tonight, and his head's going to be in his computer screen if they pick somebody else.
By the way, folks, we will be here 6:30 tonight. Yes. In case you didn't catch us early in the program, 6:30 tonight through the end of the Giants' third-round pick. We will be here, and you'll be able to see how we feel about it.
And we'll have James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, in between the two picks. We're going to have our buddy Jonah Tolles from NDT Scouting, who joined us during the draft process. He does a great job to break down who's going to be available for the Giants in round number three. Final call of the show, Scott in Connecticut will wrap us up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, I'm actually honored to talk to you guys.
No, we're honored to talk to you, Scott.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and I just a few quick comments. Sure. I know you're at the end.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I think it's great to have a GM who I have confidence in. So, I didn't have that before. And no matter who they take with this next pick, like I'll think, you know, it was well thought out. You know what I mean?
Yep. I agree.
And also, I just wanted to say, you know, from like to see Eli all tearing up with JPP yucking it up, and you know, from those depths of where we were last year, I'm really happy as a huge Giant and Eli fan to see him kind of, you know, probably get 2 to 3 years to go out, you know, like a champ, like he should. And I'm just super excited that they're trying to win now, and even it possibly, you know, maybe for their long-term futures themselves by getting a quarterback, you're kind of hedging your bets a little bit, and they're not doing that. They're all in, and so am I. So I just wanted to say I'm thrilled.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott.
Have a good one.
Appreciate you too, buddy. Thanks for calling in and listening.
If we have a second here, I just want to read up a tweet that I put up this morning at about 8:30.
You're quoting yourself.
I'm going to do that because
how about you just say it instead of quoting yourself?
I want to read this because it's relevant.
You're the best.
It is getting absolutely pounded on Twitter. I'm at Giants WFAN, by the way. It is getting pounded on Twitter with likes.
You want me to? Oh, likes. I thought maybe I could pile on.
No, it's getting pounded with likes.
Okay, what do you got?
And I think it tells us, John, everything we need to know about the fan base. That's why I want to read it directly. A few seconds of video refresher reminds you not to overthink this. Hernandez practically wipes a forest off the map in the power running game. Just no point in going any further. Shake my head, hog molly, Giants, and it's getting pounded with likes. So I think the fan base, whatever there might have been in terms of a split over the quarterback or Barkley in round one, I'm getting the impression the fan base is all in on Hernandez now.
So when you say wiping a forest off the map, you're thinking more bulldozer? Is that what the, like, is that the analogy you're looking
just
for?
Just clearing those trees out of the way. Boom!
We need to save that video, Dad. What is that, Foom? I've never heard Foom before.
Boom!
Jeez.
Foom!
There's been another trade, by the way.
Yes.
The Niners are trading offensive tackle Trent Brown and pick number 143 overall to the Patriots for pick number 95 overall. So the Pats trade one of their third-round picks for an offensive tackle in Trent Brown and I think 143 is a fifth-round selection, if I'm not mistaken. So that's one trade that's happened. I'm just checking all the good NFL reporters out there, making sure we didn't miss anything. The Witten story is still out there as well, of course. And it looks like that's the news that I've seen so far. But obviously, look, folks.
All right.
Saquon Barkley is here. Three more, X-Zone players will get added tonight. The Giants once again select in the second round, and then they select at the top of the third, and I'll give you the exact selections. 34th overall at the top round number 2, and then at the top of round number 3, they select at number 66 and 69. So those are the Giants' 3 picks tonight. We'll see who they select. Stay tuned to Giants.com for coverage throughout the day. We're going to have our best available players up there in a little bit. Some more Saquon Barkley analysis as well, fact or fiction. And then again, tonight, 6:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Me and Dottino will have the Giants pick in the second round, which will probably be around 7:05, 7:10. Is there 5 minutes between picks in the second round or seven?
I think it's seven.
Seven. So around 7:10, 7:15, we'll have the Giants' second round pick, and we'll be with you through the whole round. So we'll pick to 66 and 69 as well, which will probably sometime, I think, after 9 o'clock.
I hope I can keep my dinner down.
I think you'll be okay. And we'll have Jonah Tolles, and again, we'll have James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State University, talking about Saquon Barkley as well. Thank you much for being part of the show. Thank you for joining us. And we're also on Saturday at 11:30, by the way. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. Thank you so much for being part of the show today and being part of our draft coverage. We'll see you in about 5.5 hours on Giants.com. Have a great day, everybody. Take it easy.